Stage Dramas present The Curse of Coenga Pass. This week's front page drama, The Curse of Coenga Pass, is a dramatization of a true life story of a 75-year hunt for buried treasure. 8 men interested in the treasure died violently trying to find the riches of old Mexico, thought to be buried near the famous Hollywood Bowl. But still, the frenzied hunt goes on. Be sure to read Strange Tragedies of the Hunt for Hollywood Bowl's Hidden Hoard, which is one of many interesting features to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. 75 years ago in Mazatlan, Mexico, General Placido Vega was in rebellion against the ill-fated Emperor Maximilian. Things became desperate for Vega when he ran out of money, which meant that his soldiers would also run out. Appeals to the wealthy landowners brought jewels and gold estimated at about $250,000. General Vega sent the treasure to San Francisco to be spent for munitions and other war supplies. 4 trusted men were put in charge of convoying the wealth. The leader, a Mexican whose name has been lost. An English soldier of fortune named Bromley. Captain Henry Malcolm, American adventurer. And a Mexican cavalry captain named Davila. On the journey up, the leader, who had the sole right to dispose of the treasure, died mysteriously. Arrived at San Francisco, the 3 remaining agents, fearing Maximilian's spies, decided to bury the treasure until further orders from their chief. Accordingly, the gold and jewels were divided into 6 separate bundles, each wrapped in buckskin, and buried in the hills beyond San Bruno. General Vega came in person to superintend the buying, and at once they went out to dig up the treasure.
Look over there. The place we hid the treasure and burned the ground and marked the spot.
It's been dug up. The treasure has been stolen. Look. Look, the earth is dry and hard. That means the treasure had been dug up shortly after we buried it.
No one followed us. I swear it upon my sacred oath.
But he is right. We took the utmost precaution.
Yes, absolutely. We came here singly, each carrying part of the treasure. We crossed and recrossed each other's trail. We doubled back and kept the closest watch. No, gentlemen, we were not followed. You, Englishmen, you were absent from our company the day after the treasure was buried.
I told you where I'd been.
Yes, and I didn't believe you then, and I don't believe you now. You lied.
I resent that, Davila. I demand an apology.
Apologize? No. I speak the truth. You came back here and dug up the treasure and stole it.
Both Bromley and Davila were killed in the fight which ensued. And General Vega, deeply affected by the loss of his countrymen and his English supporter, saddened by the loss of the treasure, which meant the failure of his campaign to liberate his people, committed suicide. And a few weeks later, Captain Malcolm, the last of the ill-fated circle, was killed in a fight. Thus, 5 men who had handled the treasure met violent death. But what of the treasure itself? At the ranch of a wealthy Spanish grande on the outskirts of what is now Hollywood...
And now, my poor fellow, you are all right now. I am Don Jesus Martinez. You are in my home. You need medicine, food, and shelter. But do not worry. I am rich. I have plenty. You shall stay here and get well again.
No, 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 good friend. I am dying. I feel the hand of death upon me, but there is much I must tell you before I die.
That can all wait, poor fellow. Here, try to sip a little of this broth. It will give you strength. First, you must get well.
No. No, there is sin upon my conscience. I must confess before I die. I have stolen great wealth. Much gold, precious jewels. You must let me tell you before it's too late.
Yes, yes. Here, here. First, you must sip the broth. Then you may tell me your story.
But please, I beg of you, let me confess my sin.
But my poor boy, I am not a father.
No, no matter. 1 year ago, I am working in the hills beyond San Bruno in the north. I am lying in the grass taking my siesta. When I see 3 men come upon a flat, wide place in the hills.
Yes?
They carry between them 6 buckskin bags. They dig deep hole and bury the bags, then they go away. When I see they have ridden far into the valley, I, Diego Moreno, go to the place and dig up the bags. I look inside, there is gold, precious jewels. So I, Diego Moreno, think I can be rich. So I steal the bags, load them on my burrow, and think I can go home to my Mexico.
Jose! Jose, hurry! Bring me brandy quickly, the poor fellow is dying. Hurry, hurry, Jose! Lie still, my poor brave fellow. I will have brandy for you.
You can't follow the brandy in the glass, huh, sir?
Yes, yes, bueno, that is good. Here, raise his head while I pour a little between his lips. There, there. He's coming around again.
My time goes short. I must finish. You see, I come here with my stolen treasure. I stop at the inn by the pass of Coenga. But cannot sleep, for the angels came to me in a dream. Tell me I die. I carry the treasure any longer.
Yes?
So I rise and dress, get my bow, carry the treasure to the hills. At the point of the 5-mile post, I turn off the trail. I go to a big ash tree. There I dig 6 holes.
Diego. Diego Moreno, speak to me. Speak.
Come, Father. What's the matter?
He is dead, Jose. A thief with his maker.
Giving Moreno a good Christian burial, Don Jesus Martinez decided to investigate the dead man's story. Taking his young grandson, Jose, the old man went into the hills, found the ash tree, and began to dig. But the excitement and violent exercise proved too much for his years, and he dropped dead of heart failure. His grandson fled in terror, steadfastly refusing to divulge the secret. But 10 years later, at the same wayside inn where Diego Moreno first stopped before he buried the treasure, another scene takes place.
Signore, at the forest. Quick, quick, come here, signore.
What is the matter, Miguel? Have you seen a ghost?
No, no, it is better than that, signore. Look.
Face of God, protect us. What fortune, Miguel?
Yes.
Miguel, where did you find it? You didn't rob
me. No, senora, listen. I am on the hillside watching my sheep, when suddenly I see my dog. He's digging and pulling at something. He growls fiercely, digs like one possessed of devils. So I go over and help him, and I pull from the ground his bag.
Filled with gold coins and jewels.
Si, senora, 100 gold doubloons and all these jewels. Now I am rich. Oh. But I do not forget, senora Echepari, who has been so kind to me. You shall have half.
No, Miguel, it is yours. Always you say you want enough money to return to your beloved Catalonia. Now you have it.
Always. You too want to be rich and go home to Mexico. Then you take this share and go.
You keep the doubloons. I take only part of the jewels. I give you a big leather belt to wear inside your clothes around the waist. In the big belt you place the golden coins.
Si, si.
There they will be safe until you return home.
Poor Miguel did return to Spain. But as the boat docked at Barcelona, he was so excited he fell over the rail and sank like a stone weighted down by his fortune. And so death claimed another victim in the curse of Cahuenga Pass. And still 5 of the 6 buckskin bags of treasure lay buried in the hills. But Jose, grandson of Don Jesus Martinez, had grown to manhood and overcome his fear of the curse of Cahuenga and his grandfather's death. So he enlisted the aid of a Major Bell in a renewal of the treasure hunt.
Are you right sure this is the place, Jose? I don't see that there big ash tree you was talking of.
I'm positive this is the place, Major. Even though there is no ash tree standing on the spot.
Well, there appears to be the remains of a stump over there. I reckon the old tree was just been plumb destroyed. By lightning, maybe. Yep, the stump's almost right of the way.
No, I give you my word of honor, Major Bell. But this is the right place, the exact location.
Well, now, it don't have to be correct to within, say, a couple of 100 feet or so. We can rent this entire section, tell them we're going to farm it. We'll clear it first, then plow the acreage with a good deep plow. Then we'll subwork the deep furrows with small plows until we uncover every foot of this ground deep enough to locate this mirage-like treasure.
Oh, have you talked to Abraham Jenkins? He owns this land now.
No, I haven't talked to him yet. First, I wanted to make sure of the exact location. Now that I've got it fixed in my mind, we'll go back to town and make a deal with old Ab Jenkins. Come along. We'll just have time to get there before dark. Guess that walk took longer than I figured. I ain't as young as I was, Jose. Quite dark now. Black is inside of your hat.
No moon tonight, Major. Looks like storm coming up, eh?
Yep. We'll be lucky if we don't get caught in it before we get home. Now, let me see. Yep, that's Ed Jenkins' place up in the middle of the block. Lights all lit. Yes, he's home, all right.
Yes, sir. If we close the deal tonight, we can begin flying tomorrow. All I want to do is get my hands on that treasure.
Oh, Jose. Hey, Jose, what happened?
Somebody shot.
Jose. 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 Good Lord, he's dead. Help. Help. Help.
Jose's sudden death put fear into Bell's heart, and when the murderer remained at large and no motive for Jose's death established, Major Bell decided to leave well enough alone. And the treasure remained undisturbed almost 50 years. Then a Los Angeles businessman bought an antique camelback trunk at an auction. carried it home, and examined the contents.
There you go, you and your auction prizes. Done again?
Yep. Broken umbrella, two pairs of worn-out shoes, a box of buttons, half a Mahjong set, and an old pillow. That's all I got for my three perfectly good dollars. Well, give me a hand, Sam. We'll toss it out the back for the garbage.
Ah, you and your auction treasure. You'll never learn.
You can't tell. Someday I'm liable to pick up a fortune in some old relic.
Cut it out and open the door.
All right. Well, we don't have to carry it down the back steps. Just drop it over the side here.
Okay. Over she goes. There goes $3.
Hey, wait a minute. What's that stuff that just fell out there on the walk?
A bunch of old love letters or overdue bills.
Yeah, but where do they come from? There weren't any papers in that trunk. Say, I'm going to investigate.
Well, what'd you find? Love letters of Cleopatra?
Hey, Sam, there was a false bottom in this trunk.
What?
The force of the drop sprung it open, and these papers here fell out. They're dated April 11, 1892, and they're written in Spanish. There's a map here, too.
Okay, treasure hunter, bring them in. I'll read them to you.
I've drawn a circle on the map. Within it lies the treasure of the patriot Vega. How do they pronounce that, Vega? When I have found it, I shall return and buy you many gifts. Guard this map, and should misfortune befall me, seek out the spot with your brothers. It is all I, Jose, have to bequeath you, my Dolores.
That's the hidden treasure, the legends say, is buried under the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh.
That fellow with the electrical doodle bug tried to locate the treasure.
Yep, spent all he had doing it. He committed suicide the other day. That fortune has a jinx.
Jinx or no jinx. Spooks, ghosts, ancient curses, or anything else isn't going to stop me. I'm going to find that fortune.
And so the frenzied treasure hunt continues. Superstitious people can well imagine that the engineer's ghost now guards the loop, along with the three phantoms on horseback, the sly peon with his burro, the arrogant Mexican rebel, the eager Castillan Grande and his tragic stepson, and the Basque sheepherder with seaweed in his hair, all jeering and leering at anyone who continues the quest. You have just heard the front page drama, The Curse of Cahuenga Pass, based upon the feature article, Strange Tragedies of the Hunt for the Hollywood Bowl's Hidden Hoard, to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page drama, Murder by Proxy, is the dramatization of a true detective story, one of the many baffling cases that were solved by the late Ellis Parker, who was a living prototype of the celebrated detective of fiction, Sherlock Holmes. In next Sunday's American Weekly, you will find a most interesting biographical article on the life of the late Ellis Parker and some of his famous cases entitled The Unhappy End of Our Own Sherlock Holmes. Ellis Parker handled over 30,000 criminal investigations and solved all but 12 of his 300 murder cases. He solved his first case, the theft of his own horse and buggy, before he was 18, and then went on to build an amazing record that will rank with the great detectives of the French Sûreté or Britain's Scotland Yard. Be sure to read The Unhappy End of Our Own Sherlock Holmes in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now to our story, Murder by Proxy.